Hypocrisy is the masquerading of love. You're not really loving anybody. You're just playing like you love someone. It's called pretend. They're pretending to love someone. Shakespeare said this, God has given you one face and you make yourself another. We don't want to ever be like that. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, everyone. Well, we've got another great message today from Pastor Bill's Romans series entitled, Cling to What is Good. Let's join in the study now.
Amen. Let's turn to the book of Romans this morning. We're in the 12th chapter as we continue an in-depth study through the book of Romans on Sunday morning. We're in chapter 12. We'll be beginning in verse 9 in just a moment. You know, chapter 12, what a great chapter. Paul goes through, remember, he goes through 11 chapters telling us all who we are in Christ Jesus, how we've been saved and our identification and we've been justified and we're in the process of sanctification and that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. All of our sins are forgiven, no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And then in chapter 12, Paul begins in the very first verse with a pleading of the Holy Spirit of God to every person who is a believer. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that's the chapters 1 through 11, that you do something. It says that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, meaning to present ourselves as a picture of a priest presenting themselves upon the altar to God and say, God, all that you've done for me, all the wonderful things that you've done, I come to you now, and here I am. I am your vessel. You purchased me. I belong to you. Use me any way you desire. And it goes on to tell us that we're not of this world. We're not being conformed to this world because now we're saved. We're a living sacrifice. But we're being transformed, and the only basis for transformation is the renewing of your mind so you can prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Did you know God's will is good for you? Amen. I want God's will, not my own will. Now, we've learned that a true believer, those that are a living sacrifice, that we're not inactive in the body of Christ, but we're very active. We're using the giftings that God has given to each and every person who is truly born again. We're using them for the body to build up the body and also to go into all the world with whatever God has called us to do, but also a transformed life. A brand new creation results in transformed living. When you're saved, you're not the same anymore, amen? It doesn't mean that you're immediately the Apostle Paul and you do everything perfect in life. No, I mean, it may take a while for you to get the camels out of your pocket up here, you know? Do they still have camels? You guys know me so well. No, that's called sanctification. God is cleaning you up. The power is not of you. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit does it. Amen? We are brand new people for God. Now, we've already covered verses 1 through 8, but now we enter into a different realm, if you will, beginning in verse 9, because this verses 9 through 21 here, Paul does something. He shows us that the Christian's walk, our walk in this life, in this world, is a walk of love to the believer and to the unbeliever as well. Those in the body of Christ, those outside of the body of Christ. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of clinging to what is good. Say that with me. Clinging to what is good. Let's find out what that means beginning in verse 9 this morning, talking about believers. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. And what does that say? Cling to what is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. That word love there is not the love of the world, okay? That is agape. That's a supernatural love that comes down from heaven, okay? It can only come from heaven because it belongs to God. It's His love. It's a love that is foreign to the world that we live in, and only a believer can have God's love in his heart. Romans 5:5. The love of God, his very love, the agape, has been poured out lavishly or shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. You're not going and I'm not going to receive any more of the love of God that I have already received. I have all that I'm going to get. You have all that you're going to get. Why? It's his love. And now what are we to do? We are to let that love pour out of us to the hurting and also to one another. Now, agape never has a motive, never has a hidden agenda. It always wants and seeks the highest good for others, everyone, lost and saved, no matter how they respond to that love. Love never fails. Amen? But love doesn't always win. Jesus loved the world. Amen? He loves everyone, but not all love Jesus, and not all are going to love us. But love, truly, it never, ever fails. And that word love here is a verb. It always gives out, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave. Romans 5:8. God proves or demonstrates his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. And the only way, again, to have this love is to be born from above. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Did you know that love is the highest litmus test of the believer? You know, it's wonderful to see, you know, God use you in the gifts. Well, that's wonderful. But what do we learn? We learn that gifts never show us our maturity. They show us our ministry. Fruit always shows us our maturity. Whenever we find a Christian that is not walking in love, there's a problem. Because see, when the love of God has been poured out in our hearts and Jesus has commanded us to do so, then we have a problem if we're not doing it. You know, one of the three commands that form the vision statement for this church called Calvary Chapel is the command that Jesus gave to all believers in John 13:34-35, where he says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And here's the new part. All the disciples knew Leviticus 19:18, to love one another. But here was a new part. Jesus said, "I want you now to love one another to the same degree or exactly how I have loved you." And he says, "And by this, the whole world will know that you're my disciples." You see, it's love that identifies the believer, amen? This love that God has put in our heart. We're commanded to love God with all of our heart. We're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, this love is incredible, what it does. I'm reading a novel right now. It's about the three-day war there, or really the 3 days at Gettysburg during the Civil War. It's a heartbreaking, great book. And I didn't really know a lot about, like, General Robert E. Lee or any of that, you know, who was in this Confederacy and so forth. Just didn't know that he was such a true believer, a Christian. I mean, he loved the Lord. He was a man of prayer. I'm not for the South or the North. I'm not doing that right here. Okay, you understand? I'm reading a book. I was born 85 years after the Civil War ended, okay? All right. So don't try to pin something on me here. But as I was reading, you know, General Lee, Robert E. Lee, had a terrible heart condition during the war. And he wasn't always well. And he was so admired, he was so loved by his soldiers, by his troops. One night they were marching by his tent. 15,000 soldiers were marching by his tent. And you know what they did? Because they loved him, because love is a verb, love is demonstrative, you demonstrate. It says that 15,000 soldiers went by his tent on tiptoe so they would not wake him. You know something? That is love, isn't it? See, that's what love does. Love reaches out, and that's what it means to have this kind of love here. Listen, and look at the character of the love that has been poured out in our hearts. It says there, it's this love, the character is without hypocrisy We're not a bunch of hypocrites. J.B. Phillips' translation says this, "Let us have no imitation of Christian love." You know what the word hypocrite means. A hypocrite is one who hides himself behind a mask. In other words, he's an actor or she's an actor. He's a pretender. Hypocrisy is the masquerading of love. You're not really loving anybody. You're just playing like you love someone. It's called pretend. They're pretending to love someone. Shakespeare said this, "God has given you one face and you make yourself another." We don't want to ever be like that. Amen? No, the character of our love is not hypocrisy. It's not hypocritical. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:22, it says, "In sincere love of the brethren, love or agape, that word again, one another fervently with a pure heart." Love without hypocrisy, number one, is real love. Number two, it is sincere love. You see, the character of this love that we have, this agape, you see, it has no disguises. It's just real. It has no, again, no motives. It has no mask. We're not here to pretend and all of that. You know, remember, you know, in New Testament times, you know, people like these sculptors or whatever, the workers in stone, they would make like statues or whatever. And so they would, you know, go in there and heat it up, and if it got too hot, let's say that we're making a sculpture of, I guess, Caesar, I don't know, and here's Caesar, you know, and he comes out, but it was too hot, so it cracked. And so what they would do back then, they would take beeswax and a little bit of the dust from the stone, they'd mix it together, and they'd get the nose where it fell off, you know, and stick it back on and cover it all up, and they'd put it out in the marketplace to sell. Well, the word there without wax, that we get our word without wax, is sine siros, without wax. So what these merchants would do, because, I mean, here you go, you buy the statue of Caesar, you to put it out in your garden, you know, and you're having a barbecue, and it's a real hot day, and the next thing you know, his nose starts, you know, going, well, you say, God, he ripped me off. So all the merchants, they would go out and say, listen, they would put in front of their stores or there on the streets, they go, sine siros. In other words, this is a real thing. There's no cracks. This is nothing phony. We didn't add anything to make it look like it was real. This is the very real thing. Now listen, we are the living sacrifices of God. We are now God's vessels and we have been filled with his love. Amen? God says, be the real thing. Really love one another. Really care for one another. You know, that's really what it's all about. And the only time that we have in this life is right now. And there's so many believers, they get so angry, so mad, they do all these crazy things. And I'm going, why don't you just love people? Well, they don't love me. Well, so what? They don't love Jesus either. Oh, listen, no, we need to put a sign out there and go, sine siros, without wax. You're looking at a real church with real people, and we come dressed any way we want to. No more parking your boats out there for, you know, you're going fishing, don't do that. I don't know. I'm teasing, you know that. Now let's look what this love does. Look at what this love does again. It clings to what is good. Watch this now. Abhor what is evil. And that word means hate. Abhor means to hate with horror, not people. Don't hate people. That's not what it's saying. Hate what is what? Evil. Cling to what is good, or be glued to what is good. That's what that word cling means. It means to cleave. It means to hold fast and so forth, to be glued, cemented, if you will. Now, this love here, it hates some evil. It practices tolerance with evil. No, it does. That's not what it says at all. Listen, don't let the true church of God, the true church of Christ, have some kind of peaceful coexistence with the evil that's in this world. I hate evil, don't you? You know, I was telling yesterday at prayer that I watched not a news video, but a video that was sent to me from India there, because we have, you know, Sonia's in India right now and her husband's going to be joining her soon. And they killed this teenage girl, martyred. I'll never watch another video in my life. And I just broke down crying. How could people do that? How could they, what I saw done to that precious little beautiful teenage girl, how could man, ends humanity against man, kill her and do the things they did to her before she died because she would not recant Christ as her Lord. It is evil. God says, listen, you abhor. You hate what is evil. You don't have a coexistence with evil. You don't tolerate it. We're not the church contaminated. Amen? No, we live in a vulgar, vulgar, vulgar world and a vulgar society. It is horrible. From the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. And I look at the filth that's being poured out in Hollywood and all the rest of it. Listen, loved one, I don't want any part of that. You know why? Because evil is an enemy of God. Evil is an enemy of God's love. Evil is an enemy of everything that is good. And whatever is evil, God says, hate that. Don't have any part of that. Alexander McLaren, that great Bible teacher of old, said this. He said, the force of our recoil from the bad will be measured by our grasp of what is good. Have you ever gone through the Bible and looked up God's hate list? Okay, you're real talkative this morning. Remember, let me give you a few. How about Proverbs chapter 6? Remember where God's word says in verse 16, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him, which means abomination means detestable, disgusting, horribly wicked, an abomination to him. Now, this is not the exhaustive list, just a little bit of seven things. See, God hates all sin, but he doesn't hate people who sin. You understand? God loves us all. You can't change God's love for sinner or saint. God loves us. But he hates, you know what God hates here? He doesn't hate the people. He hates the sin that people do. And he especially hates these sins. Let me read them to you. A proud look, a lying tongue, a person who lies. Hands, of course, who was the first liar? Satan. He's the father of every lie. Amen? No wonder God hates Satan so much and all of that. It says hands that shed innocent blood. I just witnessed that this week. Unbelievable. How about this? A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to run to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And boy, here's one of the big ones that I don't know why Christians don't understand this. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Those who sow discord in the church. Did you know that God hates that? Oh, listen, the Bible says in Psalm 97:10, it says, you who love the Lord, it says to hate what is evil. Now look again at verse 9. And now watch this, you know, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. I love that word. It means, Christian, that we are to do something. We are to, the love that we have for one another, that's in our heart, we're now to cling, which means to glue ourselves, if you will, hold fast, you know, or literally cement yourself, glue yourself to everything that is good. Hold tightly to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Christian, listen, we need to be careful what we cling to. Amen? Boy, listen, we don't want to cling to this world because this world is passing away and everything in it. It's all going to be burned up, folks. And you know that, and I know that. But listen, don't cling to the world. I'm not saying you are, but don't. If you are, then don't do it. And listen, don't cling to your old past. You know, well, Bill, it comes back and haunts me. Well, uncling it, if you will. You know, say, no, I'm not holding you fast anymore. My Savior paid for my past, present, and my future. Amen? All of my sin debt is completely paid. And don't hold on to your hurt. Listen, if you're going to cling to anything in this life, you know, when I was a little boy, I loved my grandmother with all of my heart. And back then, you know, in the days when there was no schools and we walked 1,000, no, come on. Back in those days, listen, my grandmother, you know, she, you know, remember that, if some of you old as a Harley will remember that you know, that we would make the flower sack dresses. Y'all remember that? And my grandmother had flower sack dresses. She had two nice dresses, one for summer, though, one for winter. Okay, that's all she had. Everything else was, she made flower sack dresses, but she always had an apron on. And I would run to her as a little boy growing up on the farm with her, and I would just cling to her apron, and she would drag me all over the house. Billy, quit clinging to me. No, Grandma. I loved her. If you're going to cling to anyone in this life, cling to the one who died for you, the one who loves you, the one who'll never leave you, and the one who will never, ever forsake you, and the one who cannot lie. Amen? That's who we need to cling to in this life. And there's only one way to cling to what is good. You have to go to verse 2 and do what verse 2 says. You have to renew your mind. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means to get into God's word so that you can do something, so that you can what? Look at it. It says that you can, let's see, prove by experience, that is, what is that, and here it is, what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God? If you don't know God's word, how are you going to know what good things to cling to? Amen? You wouldn't know to hate evil if you didn't know God's word, for example. The Bible tells us in 3 John 11, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." Now let's look at verse 12. Watch this now about what love does. It says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another," talking about believers, and he tells us how to do it, "with brotherly love." That literally could be translated as members of the same family. We're a family here, the family of God. "In honor, giving preference," and that means preference only found here in the New Testament, by the way. It means for every believer to be led by an example for each other, that I'm going to be affectionate to you and you're going to be affectionate to me. And we all do that because we're training the generation underneath us. Amen? And watch how we do it. "In honor, giving preference to one another." That word honor means to treat as precious. You're precious to God and to me and to one another. God says in his word, precious is in his sight is the death of his saints. We are precious to God, and we should be precious one to another. We need to be known, especially in this 21st century generation of Christians, we need to be known more than just a people. Well, we preach the word of God. We need to be a people that live the word of God. Amen? And we apply it to our very lives. It says in 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love," talking about agape, "he who doesn't love, he doesn't know God. She doesn't know God." Why? "For God is love. And that love has been shed abroad in our hearts." So what does this kind of love that comes down from heaven, resides in our hearts, what does it do? It says, "I cling to everything God says is good." Look at the next one in verse 11. It says, "Not lagging," or literally that word is slothful. Don't be lazy. "Not lagging in diligence." Now that's outward, okay? Outward living. Now watch this. "Fervent in spirit." That's inward. That's aglow by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. "And serving the Lord." Now that's upward. We're his hands and his eyes. We're his heart to these people here in this generation. Outwardly, it says what? Diligence. Now, in the King James Version, if you still have that old version, which is nothing wrong, it's a beautiful version, it used to be my favorite, it would say business. And so we would think maybe, well, don't be slothful, don't be lazy in business, meaning if you're a lawyer or a plumber or whatever, be a hard worker. That's not what that word is saying. When it tells us to be diligent, it's talking about being diligent and taking care of the business of the Lord. Amen? That's what this is telling us. In other words, working for him, not laziness, but busyness. Jesus said, "Occupy, do business." In other words, do what I want you to do. Do business till I return, till I come back. Now, listen very carefully. Beware of laziness. I'm not saying anyone in this church is lazy. I'm not saying that at all. But you need to cling to what is good. Did you know that sloth or laziness is a sin? How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime on sloth in a church? Probably not very many, but it is something that you need to really think about and consider. You know, the Bible says a lot about laziness of a believer. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 13:4. It says, "The soul of a lazy man desires but has nothing, but the soul of a diligent shall be made rich." In other words, God blesses. Get out there and take care of business.
Once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to this message. Amen. And we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today. Be blessed, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.